Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
مرحبا, أنا رنا داود, وهيدا بودكاست دومتك.
This is Bayan Kiwan, and you are listening to Dumtak.
يس, نعم, صحيح, أجل, أيوة, دمتك صار متاح بالإنجليزي. أو بالأحرى, بعض حلقاته موجودة على بودكاست loosely adapted الجديد من صوت. زملائي أعدوا حلقات مختارة من برامجنا الأصلية بالعربي ونقلوا محتواها للإنجليزي بتصرف, مثل اسم البرنامج. يعني رح تسمعوا شوية حلقات مقتبسة من دمتك وكمان من بودكاست عيب, بتلاقوها حصراً على قناة صوت بلس على أبل بودكاستس. هيدي قصصنا منا وعنا بلساننا بس بالإنجليزي. بترككن مع حلقة الروك العربي من بودكاست loosely adapted. Enjoy. صوت بودكاست.
This episode was originally published in Arabic on January 9th, 2020. It was narrated by Rana Dawood. For more details, check out the link in the description. In 1981, the British rock band The Clash was on tour in Paris. A slim, dark-haired man in his early 20s appears in one of its concerts. Hoping to be contacted, he gave the band a cassette of songs he composed. He waited and waited, but they never called. Months later, The Clash performs a song called Rock the Casbah, whereas this man declared that they could not have ever made this song if they hadn't listened to his cassette. Life goes on. This man made it to be a rock and rye star, the Algerian legend Rachid Taha. Later on, he, Rachid Taha, performs Rock the Casbah even better than the band, which no longer was a band and no longer performed. Mick Jones, former member in The Clash, joins Taha later to play with him. This is Bayan Kiwan, and you are listening to Dumtak. This episode, written by Lama Rabah, is about Arabic rock. The story of Rachid Taha is not only about an ambitious and talented man who was eventually rewarded by life, but it is also about an Algerian in France who used to sing Arab excerpts in rock songs during the 80s. In a book about his life, he said, "Rock is the music of migrants and refugees." Even though he introduces himself as a rock star, his Arab audience knew him and liked him while singing rap. Prior to becoming a soloist, Rashid Taha established a band called Carte de Séjour, which means the residency card. The band was named after the document held by migrants in France. Among the most important concerts of this band was in the Place de la Bastille in Paris by the end of La Marche de Bord, Bord's March, which is the march for equality and against racism that began in Marseille and lasted for over 6 weeks when finally arriving in Paris, 100,000 people were marching in the streets.
5000 personnes cet après-midi à Paris, le premier jour à Marseille, ils étaient 32, très précisément.
From Paris to Beirut, but going back in time to the 60s and the 70s, back to the time when Beirut was called the capital of Arabic rock. At that time, there were over 200 bands. Could you imagine having over 200 bands in a country as small as Lebanon? Among those bands, a band called the Cedars. It consisted of four young men, Albert, Jo, Raymond, and Zohir. They had all met in a shop called Chico Records at Sidani Street in Beirut, which is still open until now. DJ nights used to be held at this place for university and school students. The owner of the shop had a girlfriend who worked as an air hostess at the Lebanese Airlines. She used to come back to Chico every week with the newest music hits of the world. This was a soundbite from a song in the first album of the Cedars band, produced in Lebanon and recorded at Baalbek. Later on, the band traveled to the UK and issued a new album after signing a contract with a British production company. In an interview, Zohir said, "The director of the production company told us, 'Being Lebanese, you have to perform Oriental music.' They were also requested to add the buzuk to their songs. They used to bring it along to their performances whenever they played in London, along with a picture of them at Baalbek, surrounded by a camel or two." The band was reluctant to do so. However, being stereotyped in the typical Arab image eventually led to their failure. They were not allowed to realize the dream for which the band was established, which is composing international music and to achieve further success leaning on what they have achieved in Lebanon. Bands had the tendency to write more English songs. However, some bands were able to sing a mix of Arabic and English songs, such as the Lebanese band called Force. In the early 80s, Force was visited by a reporter from the Australian ABC. He went to a basement where the band was training. He was astonished to find Muslim, Druze, and Christian musicians playing music together amidst what is happening outside that basement.
The band Force is Christian, Druze, and Muslim. They rehearse in basements away from the violence, and they write about what they see.
Finding Arabic rock bands before the year 2000 is like piecing a puzzle together. A short report here, or a published song there, or being marginally mentioned in a story with no details. Some articles on Arab websites go to the extent of stating, "There was no rock music in Syria or Palestine, and this is unbelievable." Having 200 bands in Lebanon and none in Syria and Palestine is hardly possible.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We were able to find a band called Silverstone. This band, which included 6 young men who sang American and British rock in addition to songs for Fairuz and Farid al-Atrash, remixed in rock tunes, was established in the 60s. They regrouped again in 2010 as a band called Shebat. They performed in the Jerusalem Festival, then they changed the band's name to Sulwan, and new members joined them. In an interview with NBC TV, this is what the band says about their names and songs.
Hajar Suwan, Flint Stone or TN, because Flint doesn't break, it's solid. Secondly, we chose to sing for young people because they are the ones who need to hear such lyrics. We don't want young people to feel lost. We're afraid they would not be able to truly interact with reality and that they would get distracted by something else and run away to it. This is why we chose these tunes.
The Blooms, another band from Palestine, was formed in the 1970s. Their songs, mostly national, are in standard Arabic. However, we haven't found any sources that document this stage. And from Syria, the Magic Fingers, Al-Anamil al-Sahriyeh, from Latakia, which was founded in 1979 and remained until the early 1990s. A report was published with the band's cassette cover. It shows 5 young men, 2 of which are sitting on the floor holding a guitar, and 3 standing behind them in the studio. None of them were smiling. The story is narrated by one of the band's members, Yahya Sibahiyeh. And he tells how the songs of the Magical Fingers, which are all in Arabic, were recorded in a chalet by the sea in Latakia, and people began hearing them on the beach, over land trips, and under Christmas trees. All the songs were poetic and romantic, because originally the cassette was aiming to be a love letter from the lyricist Mustafa Yuzbashi to his lover. عليك وقلبك من الناس لك من صادق يا عيوني لا تسمع
تسمعي لكلام الناس بتقول بحبك يا عيوني عقلك وقلبي كل الناس الحكم من صادق يا عيوني لا تسمعي لكلام الناس.
I think that all of us have heard rock songs over and over again. At a certain point of time, we loved these songs and memorized them by heart. But where? Grandizer, who fought for peace on Earth. Digimon Adventure from the digital world, who are still lost. This is the original song in Japanese. Most of Spacetoon's songs are rock. This generation grew up listening to such songs. Therefore, bands came out with different types of music in the Arab world. Rock was among them. They sang about love, politics, and society in a new way, in Arab dialects, which we were not used to hearing in songs. Such as El Murabba and Aylul from Jordan, Tut Ard from Syria, Yuma from Tunisia, and later El Container from Palestine and many others. Jadal, a Jordanian band, for example, released its first album in 2009, entitled Arabic Rocks, and began remixing Abdul Halim Hafez's song Kull Magul Toba, When I Say I Had Enough. Jadal released their own songs, written by the band's founder, Mahmoud Radaide, which achieved great success, such as Ana Bakhaf Mil Commitment, I'm Afraid of Commitment. This song goes by forgetting all about the love that we were accustomed to when singing. I loved you, I love you, and I will always love you. Or, I can survive without sunlight and water, but I cannot survive without you. Jadal sings what we always longed to say. When I first saw you, I should have turned my back on you and fled. But I say you should grease your wheels and vanish with no trace. Today, this song is 8 years old, and 6 million viewers on YouTube are still afraid from the commitment, even though the song's composer got married. In an interview with Radaide of Jadal, the interviewer asked him, after being successful, are you motivated for any new work? What do you think?
It's fine. We did what we could.
Yeah, you did what you could. There is still some people.
I think that producing 3 successful independent albums for independent bands is a significant achievement. Thank God. Of course, as long as one puts their heart into doing real stuff, nothing will stop them. Their work will live on.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Commitment, shown by bands when they work in alternative and independent music, is never easy. Not only Jadal, but also other groups like Kairoki and Masar Egberi from Egypt. They initially began as independent bands in terms of production, advertising, and even venues. They succeeded because they sang in Arabic, and they were different when compared to songs that needed millions for their production costs, like songs of Tamer Hosni and Amr Diab. But who is funding this success? Mashrua Layla, Layla's project, introduces itself as an alternative pop band. They produced their first album, Ra'asuk, They Made You Dance, through a public fundraising campaign. They raised $66,000 at that time. Mashrua Layla and Jadal participated in the Coke Studio program, which was sponsored by Coca-Cola. The program was based on hosting artists from different parts of the world to work together for one day and perform music together. The program was shown on MBC, the famous Arab TV. In the episode of Mashrua Layla, the exact frightening scenario which happens whenever commercial companies interfere with art took place. The Lebanese composer, Hadi Sharara, was the one who would produce the joint song between Mashrua Layla and Nile Rodgers, the American producer. A dispute takes place on how this song would be released. Hadi Sharara, who is used to working with Raghib Alame and Najwa Karam, says,
I will not distort your music too much. I will keep Mashrua Layla's musical identity as it is. But it's important to understand that there's a need to commercialize it a little bit. The concept of Mashrua Layla is nice, but it only speaks to a limited group of people, a niche, who listens to this type of music, who listen to the lyrics. It's not for me, for instance. The way you think is unusual and good. But we need to stay in the middle, somewhere between Daft Punk, Mr. Rogers, Mashrua Layla, and a random guy named Hadi Sharara. No hard feelings, okay?
The commercial pop music that Hadi produces is the opposite of what we are. We look for a genre that is calmer, that feels more personal. We're not used to operating within such a, let's say, populist framework.
They meet in the middle, this area about which Hadi Sharara is speaking about. He asks them later on, why are you upset? With music, this is what makes me feel bitter.
Man, I'm not changing the music. You need to understand that Coke Studio is a concept. We need to fit Mashrua Layla into that concept.
We find Kairoki band singing in a mall while conducting an advertisement campaign for Coca-Cola, highlighting some people among the audience enjoying the fizzy soda. In contrast, some of their songs, like Television, Television, is a hard rock against the commercial and prevailing media culture.
بيعلموك ازاي تحب وتكره بيزرع في نفوخك اي فكره والغساء شغال ليل نهار تغسل عقول الناس وتلوث الافكار.
It is different from Red Bull Sound Clash, where two bands confronted one party and many Arab independent or alternative bands participated, such as Wast El Balad. The audience feels fine towards this. Bands may not want to sing in a small space for a small audience. Perhaps they want to make enough money to be devoted to art, or they want to build relations with commercial and cultural institutions. But this makes us wonder, what does independent or alternative music mean? Why do many bands adhere to this classification if they appear on the same programs and take the same advertising opportunities that the mainstream artists take? The songs produced by Mashrua Layla and others at a later stage are different. They also provided content against political and social oppression. Therefore, Arab governments are fighting them and are preventing their concerts. For example, when a concert for Mashrua Layla was cancelled in 2017 in Jordan, a Jordanian MP raised a complaint saying that the band is known for talking about sex and homosexuality, in addition to calling for a revolution against governments. In his opinion, such a band would provoke public sentiments. The most recent Mashrua Layla concert in Egypt will be its last, as the band was banned by an official order. In their last concert in 2017, one of the audience raised the rainbow flag, a symbol of diversity of sexual identities. The Egyptian police launched a security campaign to arrest anyone suspected of being homosexual. Dozens of people were arrested in this campaign, and some were even sentenced for a year and up to 6 years of imprisonment.
After the incident that has been the cause for the arrest of 57 people so far, some of these cases were transferred to courts in record time. In 9 of them, the defendants were sentenced to a year and up to 6 years of draconian imprisonment.
This band was attacked because of their song's content, which the state considers threatening, but also because the main singer, Hamid Sinnu, declared his sexual orientation despite all of the criticisms he faced. There are many other musical genres that face challenges in the Arab world for other, relatively similar reasons. Metal, a type of rock, is also present in most Arab countries. There are special festivals such as Beirut Metal Fest and other supporting festivals such as Boulevard in Morocco. One day in 2016, a metal concert was supposed to take place in Egypt, but guess who banned it from obtaining a permit? Hani Shakir, the head of the musicians' syndicate in Egypt. Why? This is because there is a belief that those who listen to metal and sing it are satanic. This is not new. In 1996, for example, 20 years before this banned concert took place, the Egyptian authorities arrested 100 people, musicians or metal fans, and at that time there were demands for their execution, but eventually they were allowed to go home. An Egyptian presenter wondered about the relationship between metal and Satanism, on Al-Qahira Wal-Nas channel. So she hosted the musician Nader Sadiq to ask him.
Maybe their appearance suggests that? Or are we still far from that?
Does having long hair suggest that the person worships something?
No, but sometimes it's extreme, out of the ordinary. Some people look strange and scary. Their appearance suggests that they worship something, that they look like Satanists. I'm talking about people who have long hair, are tattooed, have long nails, those who drink I don't know what, those whose looks are disgusting. Maybe these people look like Satanists.
At some point in Lebanon, people started accusing anyone who listens to metal of witchcraft and devil worship. And so concerts would get canceled and the media would launch a campaign against them. The same happened in Morocco. Rumors also emerged saying people have found slain cats in an abandoned house near the concert venue and that there were offerings being given to the devil. Of course, metal musicians addressed the media several times to deny these claims, stressing that there is no connection here and that all the accusations are a result of the Arab media's ignorance in this genre of music. While this is true, the belief that metal music is associated with devil worship is not entirely baseless. In the 1980s and the 1990s, there was a wave where a subgenre of heavy metal emerged under the name black metal. One of the bands who embraced this genre is the Norwegian band Mayhem, who had different religious beliefs. Members of this band would grab sharp objects and cut themselves on stage in front of the audience to embody fear and anger. Both the audience and media outlets are still doubtful of metal music genres, but there is a large fan base of this music in Iraq, Bahrain, Kuwait, Lebanon, Egypt, and Morocco. It has yet to be endorsed by big production companies like Rotana, but metal is still growing in various and unlimited directions. This is a song by a Syrian metal band named Jin. The song is adapted from Sheikh Imam.
لتبكي فأحزان الصغر تمضي كالحلم مع الفجر فقريبا تكبر يا ولدي وتريد الدمع فلا يجري إن سهرت أمطار معنا أو غطى البرد شوارعنا فالدفء يعمر أضلعنا ولهب الأرض بنا يسري يا
In truth, choosing our subject of discussion for this episode was difficult. There was some great experiments in Arabic rock before and after the year 2000. In the past few years, we have seen quality work from all Arab countries, including the experimental rock scene in Lebanon. Some bands also mixed various genres of music, like Al Bayt Al Ashwa'i in Jordan, who integrated characteristics of Sufi music in their songs. Or a new project in Palestine, which turned a monologue for one of the righteous saints and traditional songs about praying for rain into a rock song. It might take us an entire season to tell all the stories and delve into them, especially now that they hold personal meanings that belong to our generation, such as the failed love stories that we experienced while listening to This Road Ends with a Sad Melody.
This نستني ونستني نستني نستني
We are sad that this episode is ending, but our conversation will never truly be over.
وساعات نهاية الحكاوي بتسيب معاها سؤال وساعات نهاية الحكاوي بتسيب لنا أحلام ويا قلب عاشق للحياة كان رد مرة وقال كم باب أمل مقفول بيتوارب مع الأيام.
This episode was originally written in Arabic by Lama Rabah. It was produced and edited by Sabrin Taha, sound designed by Taysir Qabbani, hosted by Rana Dawood, and published and marketed by Maram Nabali. If you're an Arabic speaker, check out the link in the description box. The script was translated to English by Taqwa Masaade, edited and produced by Tala Halawa, sound produced by Mahmoud Abu Nada, and I am your host, Bayan Kiwan. Subscribe to Dumtak wherever you get your podcasts.
كان نفسي أقابل كل شيء فاتني وعداني أشكر جروح من غيرها ما كنت زماني في مكان عجبي على نهاية الطريق يبدأ طريق
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.